now we're being recorded. So welcome everyone to our first class in deep listening, introduction to some of the foundational coaching skills that I use in my practice often, pretty much every single call. So we're going to go ahead and start with a round of checking in with what you're excited about for this class, what you're nervous about, and then just a little bit about how you're doing. So your name and where you live, how you're feeling right now. Let's take about a minute and no more than 2 minutes for our check-ins and go ahead and get started. So I'll just say I'm going to place the talking stick in the middle, and when you're done, you can just say check.
Did you just want us to dive right in?
I absolutely want you to just dive right in, Frances.
Okay, I'm Frances from Weed, California, which is a little small community right above Mount. And I'm just finally excited about taking this class. I think communication is important, especially if one.
Hey, Frances, I think we've got some background, maybe wind or something in the phone for you. It was a little hard to hear you.
Yeah, you know what it probably is? It's probably the cell tower. So
you know what? Actually, that might be me. Let me see what I can do about that. Is it star six? Is that what I push?
Yeah, star six. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see if that helps you all.
Okay. Will you try again, Frances?
Okay. Well, what I'm excited about is just taking this class because communication skills are very important, especially if you are going into coaching. And what I'm nervous about is, I don't know. What was the third question?
Just a little bit about yourself, just a little bit to help us get to know you.
Well, I said I was from Weed, California. I'm a native Californian, and I have been a lifelong student of change and hoping to get started with some coaching classes to help other people realize their dream and support them in making whatever changes that they need to in order to realize that. And I'm also a professional indexer, which is I create those lists at the back of books. So check.
Great. Thank you, Frances, and welcome. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you.
I'll go next. My name is Sarah, and I'm excited about this class because I am a doula, a labor and postpartum doula, and have found that especially in postpartum work, it ends up being a lot of counseling, a lot of talking and working through things and finding ways to be parents together. And so, I've just been really drawn to that. And so I really want to have some sort of some tools, some skills to offer, some knowledge of what it is that they need and what I can offer them. And what I'm nervous about, I don't really feel too nervous about anything. I just feel like I just hope that I am able to get I get kind of tongue-tied, and I get, not too confident about what I'm talking about whenever I'm talking to people about things sometimes, and I just really hope to get that from this class, to have them, to get the knowledge. Knowledge is power. And so I feel like if I'm confident and if I have the knowledge that I need, then I won't stumble, I'll be able to move forward and not have to worry about that. And I live in Austin, Texas.
Nice. Thanks, Sarah. I hear that you're really looking for more clarity, both with your words and within yourself, so that you can help and support people, especially in the postpartum phase. And that sounds great. I'm really glad that you're here, too.
Thank you.
This is
Danielle. I'll dive in and go next. I live in Dancing Rabbit Eco Village, and I have been here for 2 years. And it became clear to me last night that I should join in on this class, particularly because of something that I've been, a phenomenon that I've been experiencing around sexism, which is that there seems to be so much pain both in men and in women. In men, I think there's something around feeling blamed and some shame associated with it. And in women, there's just the pain of oppression. Not just the pain of oppression, but there's one big element. And I have a hard time really holding compassionate listening space for men's experiences that don't seem to validate my own experiences of sexism. So last night it was becoming clear to me that part of my work in this issue right now is to shine, to illuminate where blame and shame are in my listening and speaking, especially around these issues, to see what space can open up with more awareness of those pieces. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's key. That's the crux of it today. We'll see what it is next week. What am I nervous about? I'm a little nervous that I might not be able to make the third class because I will be visiting family. Check.
Great. Thanks, Dee. I'm glad you're here. And the recordings will be available, and so you can listen to them even if you can't make the call. It's great if we can make the calls. We're going to do things that are live and have some times where it's Q&A, and it's great if we can be here. Otherwise, you'll just have a recording of like me talking to you, which can also be fine, but it's not essential that you show up for every class in order to get the benefit of the class. All right, Carrie, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. Yeah. Hi. So my name is Carrie Smith-Harty, and I'm in Arizona, in Gilbert, which is part of Phoenix, Arizona. It's the desert. And I am a healing arts practitioner of 16 years and am just beginning to do coaching for families that have young children, babies through about age 6, who are interested in having very nurturing, attached connections with their little ones, and helping support them and do that, and then balancing them or balancing their relationships and marriages with that so that they have joyful, juicy relationships and marriages and know that, yes, they can have those and also have a really wonderful, nurturing, attached connection with their little ones. Because I hear so often from people, I can't do natural parenting. I can't do attachment parenting. What is that going to do to my relationship with my significant other? So I just thought, you know, wow, this is just way too vital, way too important for people to feel that they can't do it. And, you know, so I'm excited to do coaching work that helps them find that balance, that harmony, and that empowerment that, yes, they can and they can love it. So that's a little bit about what I do. And I'm super excited to take this class because even though I've been doing healing arts for years, as far as formally calling myself a coach, I'm rather new to that, and I'm excited to have skills that, you know, that work and that I can use with my clients and kind of gain confidence as a coach. And so listening is what I've been told is like, you know, 99% of it is, you know, people just need to feel heard and, you know, feel cared for in that listening. So I think this is a perfect, perfect class for me as a beginner, for any coach. So I'm super excited. And nervous. I'm mostly just excited. I just feel so good about it. So mostly, I guess that's my emotion that I have right now, is just feeling very positive.
Wonderful. Thanks, Carrie. And I'm really glad that you're here. And really glad you're taking on more of an active coaching role, because the times you've coached me, you've done a great job. Carrie helped me prepare for the class by coaching me yesterday. It was really great. So I'm going to ask you all to go ahead and star six yourselves and mute, and I'm just going to talk for a little while. And then after a bit, we'll do a demonstration, and I'm going to ask one of you to volunteer. So just you could think about in the back of your mind whether you want to volunteer. It will be coached and supported, and I think you'll like it. But I'm going to start us off with a story, and my story is how I got turned on to the particular kind of coaching that I really like to do. The theme for today's call is mindfulness and compassion, and I had been practicing mindfulness for, I don't know, a dozen years at least, and had been a little short on the compassion, didn't really know what it was. So here's my story of getting turned on to compassion. But it was one evening, it was in the fall of 2011, and I was actually cuddled up spooning with a new friend. We're often more affectionate with one another in the setting that I'm in. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to become lovers with somebody, but you're able to be physically affectionate. I was really enjoying this physical closeness, but then I noticed in my body that I had this just big tension in the front of my hips and my hip flexors, so right where my thighs bend. And I voiced it to this friend, and I said, I've got this tension in my hip flexors. It's really tight. And he took me into asking if it was a familiar feeling. Okay, I've done that kind of stuff before. Yes, it's very familiar. I've had it for a really long time. I was like, well, have you tried welcoming it, or do you always just try to get rid of it? And I was like, well, of course I just try to get rid of it. Who wants to have tension in their hip flexors? And so with his guidance, I actually went and connected with just the sensation in my body, and he prompted me to ask some questions of it, like, are you protecting me from anything? How are you feeling? And I was like, all right, just went ahead and tried it. Like, why not? I'll try just about anything. So what I learned is that this tension was like a turtle shell. It was armor. It was there to protect me from being too hurt and being vulnerable. And I was amazed. It was this light bulb moment for me. Who knew that this tension in my body that I had been thinking of as basically the enemy was offering me a service? And that was a pretty miraculous moment for me. It wasn't a miraculous moment in that I never have tension in my hip flexors again, because I do. It was a miraculous moment because it changed my relationship to the tension, to my own body and its wisdom, and to how healing actually happens. I had been trying to get rid of it, like, not this and not this and not this. Like, can I affirm my way out of it? Can I do enough yoga, enough meditation, enough massage, enough whatever healing practice, those are the ones that I tended towards, that I can get rid of this tension in my body? And instead, learning to appreciate and connect with, turned out my friend was doing a variation of something called inner empathy with me. And I have since spent more than 600 hours studying inner empathy, coaching clients, working in this modality, some split between self-study and working with clients and getting mentoring and support in it myself. But when I looked at it yesterday, I was like, yeah, I have definitely spent more than 600 hours, which seemed just like a nice number to toss out there to y'all. So I'm sharing this story with you in part to make myself more human, but also to show the importance of the tools that we're going to be working with in this course. One of them is mindfulness. I had to notice what was going on for me before I could share it, before I could say anything and we could do any work with this part, this tension. I had to notice what was there. That level of awareness is really important. Their whole practices around just cultivating mindfulness. Mindfulness on its own can be really transformational. So for you as a coach, it's important that you're mindful of what's alive in your experience, because that's partially how your intuition is going to speak to you and where you're going to be able to, like, know where to go with your client. So just awareness of your own experience. The other reason it's really important for you as a coach to be mindful is so that you can notice your own biases, your own triggers, your own story that gets overlaid on top of your client. We all have our own histories and our own backgrounds, and it's impossible to not bring those into your coaching relationship. Some people might suggest that you're supposed to try to keep it totally separate from your coaching relationship. I'm going to say what's important is that you're mindful of it. The more you're aware of those lenses and those filters that you're looking through, the more you can be choiceful about what you do with them. And down the road, I'll probably mention this again, but for now, I'll just say one of the ways to work with it is simply to recognize that a part of you is coming up that needs attention, and to ask that part to wait, to just acknowledge it and ask it to wait and let it know you'll give it attention, but for now, you're going to focus on your client. Like, that's often a very helpful way to handle it, and what I often do myself. The other thing that mindfulness is important is that you'll help your client cultivate mindfulness. They can become more mindful of what's actually going on for them, their experience physically, mentally, emotionally. And with that awareness, a really sweet thing happens, and they can start to notice their own power to create what they want, and also the power that they've used to create what they've got. And self-responsibility is a huge thing, that when your clients take on more responsibility for themselves, then they can make real change. Mindfulness is a key component of that self-responsibility. The next thing that my story helps demonstrate, the next tool, is honesty. Sometimes I'll call it radical honesty, just telling the truth. So valuing my own experience enough and being willing to be vulnerable enough to share it. When we're honest, things start to open up and happen. So honesty takes courage, but it also increases courage. It's like weightlifting for courage. Honesty takes intimacy. It takes a willing to be intimate, to be seen, to come into contact with another, and it also increases intimacy. Many of us long for more of an experience of connection, and we're also really scared of it. Honesty is a really good way, just being mindful and being honest about your experience, two really good ways of stepping into more connection. You'll need connection with your clients, and they'll need connection with their other relationships too. And then the third component that was in my story is the parts work and the inner empathy. So parts work, in a nutshell, is just noticing that there are different ways of connecting with yourself. And one way is to say, hey, I'm like a collection of parts, or like my whole life experience is sort of like a play, and I have a cast of characters within me. And as you start to do the parts work, you will start to notice that there are characters that appear again and again. You're like, oh yeah, hi, I know you, welcome back. You know, you kind of get to know each other. But just the basic idea of parts work is that you can talk to the different parts within you. They can be listened to. They have feelings. They have needs. It doesn't mean you're schizophrenic or some sort of split personality disorder or anything like that. It's just a way of connecting with yourself. And it's got many layers that we can fine tune and learn lots of variations around how to do parts work. But for today and for your homework for this week, just the idea that the different feelings and thoughts and sensations that you're having could either be a part or be pointing to a part of you, that's what I want you to take away from this. Like, oh, there could be something like a person inside of me that I could talk to. That's not the entire me, but there's a part that's feeling excited. There's a part of me that's feeling overwhelmed. We often have a part that's an inner critic, the voice that comes up and tells you what you should be doing better or differently, or why that wasn't good enough, what you just did. Parts that long for connection, parts that fear connection. There's some pretty universal parts to all of us, and the more you actually connect with your own parts work, the easier it is for you to facilitate your client in this tool that I found to be super powerful. And even if you don't choose to take on parts work as a way that you work with your clients, just the idea that when you're speaking or when your client's speaking, you can voice something that's not the entirety of you. You could say, I'm really scared to start my new business. I'm really scared to fail. And notice that at the same time, you're also really excited to start it and you really want to get going. Those sorts of opposing points of view are where parts come in really, really handily as a way of working with it. Like, you can talk to the part that's scared and you can talk to the part that's excited, and you don't have to somehow silence one of them so that you can just be one thing. The fourth part is almost like its own separate thing. It's like the ground that all the other work rests on, and that's compassion, this compassionate, empathetic awareness where whatever comes up can be held gently with curiosity, in a way that you don't need to fix or figure out or change or problem solve. That's what I mean by compassionate. Sometimes compassionate is thought of as being kind or being nice. That is not what I mean when I'm saying compassionate. It can sometimes be those things, but it's not those things. it's not its whole entirety. And sometimes to be compassionate flies in the face of what we were told is good manners or kindness or niceness. So compassion really holds that radical honesty and the mindfulness and the parts work in this sweet container where whatever happens is welcome. So from my point of view, the theory and tools of being a coach are about maybe 20% of what's going to be effective for your clients. And you sitting with them in compassionate, trusting, listening space is about 80% of what's going to help them do anything. And that's mostly because as a coach, your clients are doing their own work. Like that's the whole point. You can't do their work for them. They need to do it. It's like if you're a coach for a soccer team, you can't run enough to make your team stronger and better runners. Like you can help them run. You can support them having that exercise and that experience, but you can't do it for them. So you sitting compassionately with your client is you helping to create the environment where they can and will do the work for themselves. So sometimes your clients will resist the idea of compassion, and they'll say things or they'll have this belief like, if I'm nice to myself, doesn't that just reinforce my bad behavior? Isn't that just rewarding me? Like, I need to be punished. There's a very strong idea, at least in our culture, that punishment is the way to change behavior. And sometimes punishment is just admonishment. You didn't do that well. You've got to do it better. Here's where you messed up. Like looking at what's not good enough. So I have recently been doing some really interesting research around shame. And so I'm delighted that Danielle actually mentioned shame and blame in her check-in. And a really fun thing is that blame, judgment, belittlement, put-downs do not, even according to people that research such things, social scientists, they do not result in lasting behavior change in the direction that we are trying to create the behavior change. They might result in lasting behavior change of someone becoming more sneaky or less willing to express their true voice or more likely to do coping strategies like binge eating or staying up all night playing video games or whatever your particular coping strategy is. But usually when we belittle or blame or put down someone, we're not actually trying to get them to do those sorts of behaviors. We're trying to get them to do things like clean their room, like if it's your kid, you know, how can you live with this mess? It's disastrous. You're disgusting. Probably we're not going to say these things to our kids. We're not going to be that overt about it. But as I've gotten more curious about shame, I notice how easy it is, and you could just say punishment in general, how easy it is to use some sort of threat or some sort of punishment to try to motivate change. And that is one of the very biggest things that I hope you get out of this course, this four-week course, is that that's not how to motivate change. That's not what you want to use with your clients. I bet everybody on this call is actually like, of course that's not what I want to use with my clients. But it's also not what you want to use with yourself. And that's sometimes a little bit harder and where we start to get into the subtleties and why the practice in this class is really helpful. We're going to do partner work. We're going to do journaling. There's going to be some reading after each week. And that's really where I think the juice of you learning this work is going to come from. It's not from me talking to you for an hour and 15 minutes. It's from you taking in a little bit of the theory. It's helpful. It helps create the foundation and then going and practicing it. So on that note, we're going to do some practice now, and we're going to do very similar to what you're going to do for the homework this week. I'm going to ask for a volunteer, and I'm going to help that volunteer settle into a compassionate listening space. We're going to all just go through the guided visualization I do together and help us settle into this compassionate listening. And then I'm going to invite the volunteer to just be mindful about her experience. It's going to be like a deep check-in if you do check-ins or connect with each other when you just, but it's a very current time one. What's going on in your body right now? What do you notice in your emotions? What's there and alive for you? And depending on how that goes, we might take it into doing a little bit of connecting with the parts that come up. I'm open to doing that and open to just seeing where this exercise goes. I might also ask for more than one volunteer. We might listen to a couple of different people and see how it goes with different folks. So we'll leave what happens after that dyadic. So dyadic just means two people sitting with one another doing an exercise together. So it's going to be me sitting with one other person and having them just report the news is another way of thinking of it. What's going on? What's alive in your system right now? Thoughts, feelings, emotions. So I'll help prompt you for that when it's the time. But this is a good time to have a volunteer. So if you would like to volunteer, go ahead and unmute yourself. If everybody volunteers, I'll just pick somebody. We've got four people on the call in 4 weeks. You're all probably going to get a chance to volunteer. So the question is, does this one sound good to you?
This is Frances.
Great. Thanks, Frances. So,
we're getting an echo.
Oh, we're getting an echo now for you? Okay.
Yeah.
Try muting and unmuting yourself again. Let's see if that helps.
Okay.
And if I start talking you through it and there's still an echo, let me know. You still have it?
I still have the echo.
Okay. Well, why don't we do the demonstration with you another time? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for being willing.
I'll do it.
Great. Which eye is that?
Oh, sorry, it's Sarah.
Great. Thanks, Sarah. So, everybody, I'm hearing an echo now. So, everybody except Sarah, mute yourself. And then, Sarah, are you still getting the echo?
No, I'm getting an echo on myself now. Oh, no. Okay, now it's all gone. Okay, yeah, we're good.
Great. Sometimes the phone lines and stuff connect in different, not so compatible ways with one another. So, okay. Great. So everybody, just go ahead and wiggle a little bit, stretch, shift your position. If you've been holding the phone in one hand the whole time, shift it to the other hand. Hopefully you're on a headset or something so you don't have to hold your phone. But just shift your position a little bit and then allow your body to settle into something that feels comfortable, a comfortable position. And you can even lie down if you want to, if that's available to you. If you can, go ahead and close your eyes and start to notice your breath. So noticing your breath, not trying to change it or fix it or figure it out or do anything to it, just noticing your breath. Notice where you feel the breath in your belly, in your chest, in your nose, in your throat. Taking the time to notice your breath. What if you didn't have to do anything else right now? What if nothing was more important than noticing your breath? And as you notice your breath, you can also notice sensations in your body. We're going to do a little body scan. And that just means we're going to notice each part of the body in turn. Just notice what's there. So go ahead and let your awareness travel down to your feet. Noticing your feet, you could wiggle your toes a little bit. And notice what's there. How do your feet feel? We're not trying to make this really interesting or spiritual or anything. Just, are they warm? Are they cold? Can you feel the texture of your socks or the floor under your feet? Are they tired? Maybe there's a pulsing or a pressure or a tingling. Tired is more like a story. See if you can notice the actual sensations in your feet right now. Maybe they're saying, hey, we're tired of being in socks. So notice the sensations and notice any thoughts around them. Just because I said tired, you know, your feet might feel tired and that's more of a story, doesn't mean you shouldn't notice if you think your feet feel tired. It simply means you can start to notice the feeling, the actual sensation and present time experience in your feet, and the story, the idea, oh, my feet are have an ache, a pressure, a pulse, that means they're tired. That's probably because I stood on them for 6 hours yesterday or went for a long run. And just notice how quickly the actual present moment experience often connects to story. And while you're doing your body scan, you can just start to notice things like that. Allowing awareness to come up into your ankles, shins, calves, and knees. Letting awareness come into the lower part of your legs. You can do this by imagining that your mind is going there, or imagining that you're looking like a little detective. What's going on? You're getting curious. You could, something that's often very fun for me, is this like image of waking up each cell in that area of my body as though the intelligence of my body lived right there. I often think of my intelligence as being in my brain or in my heart, a lot of energy in my throat because I talk a lot. But what if the energy that I think of as me lived in my shins and ankles and calves right now? The intelligence of me. Then allowing your awareness to come up into thighs, inner and outer thighs, front and back of the legs, noticing what's here. For many women in our culture, this is not a particularly comfortable place to be and to hang out. We've got a lot of stories around the thighs and the pelvis and the buttocks and the belly. They're all rather connected. You're welcome to, you know, notice those stories, notice what's there, notice the discomfort, but also just notice the actual sensations in your body right now. From your thighs, allowing awareness to come up into your pelvic floor, genitals, buttocks, anus, the whole pelvic region, just allowing your awareness to be here, notice any sensations, including numbness, or well, you really don't feel much of anything, or yay, maybe there's all sorts of happy energy, whatever's there. And notice that you might have an emotional reaction to the sensations in your body. Whatever's here. No need to change it or fix it or figure it out. There's nothing wrong with it. Coming up into the belly and the low back. Allowing yourself to notice what's here. Maybe you're digesting breakfast. Maybe you're hungry for lunch. But again, those are stories, hungry, full, digesting. Just notice what's here. Maybe there's a little blurble, blurble. Maybe warmth, coolness, pressure. Maybe your hands are resting on your belly and you can feel those. Letting awareness come up into the chest and the back and the shoulders. Noticing what's here. Sometimes when you notice what's here, the sensations start to shift and change just by being noticed. That'll often happen for me in the shoulders. I'll start to notice and be with my shoulders, and I'll be like, oh, I don't need to hold that tension here right now. And it's not so much a cognitive thing as just my shoulders let go of some of that tension. They relax a little bit simply by me bringing awareness there. If that starts to happen in your body, you can just notice, again, in mindfulness practice, notice the difference between the tension easing out of your shoulders because you're bringing your awareness there and the shoulders realize they don't have to hold the tension, and you saying, oh, my shoulders are tight, I should relax them now. Okay, relaxing. Oh. There's a difference, and you can start to feel and the qualitative difference between the two, it helps with your mindfulness practice.
Allowing awareness to come into the head and neck, and brain. Noticing your face, the sensations in your eyes and nose and mouth. Allow sensations to also travel down, or just awareness of sensations to travel down your arms and hands. And then for a moment, allow awareness of your entire body all at once. All of these different parts that we just brought awareness to are actually held in one unified awareness for you. One awareness. You can notice your entire body all at once. The compassionate listening presence that I was talking about earlier is very similar to this, what you're doing right now. You notice the different parts of your body, but yet they're all part of the same body. Your feet, your legs, your knees, your pelvis, your hands, your nose, your shoulders. They're all connected. They're all the same body. And yet, you don't have to look at your entire body all at once. You can connect to these different parts of you and notice the sensations. Likewise, with the parts work, all of the parts are part of a cohesive you. And yet, you can connect with each one separately. Listen to it. Notice the experience. Just as we settled into the breath and the breath kind of helped hold the entire body scan, the compassionate presence helps hold all of the parts. Some of the qualities of this compassionate presence, gentleness, curiosity, no need to fix or figure out or change or problem solve, no need. This compassionate presence sees the rightness of what is. There may very well be other parts within you that come up and say this part needs to be fixed or changed or figured out or problem solved or gotten rid of. Almost without a doubt, parts will come up that have those opinions. But your compassionate presence can hold that part too. The compassionate presence can hold an infinite number of parts potentially. But your compassionate presence is also like a muscle. And each of us have that muscle at a different level of development, and on different days, sometimes it's stronger than others, and in different moments, and at different angles. So allowing that your compassionate presence can hold each part, and that some parts are more challenging. Like I said, we may connect with some of your parts explicitly, Sarah, but for the first step, I would really like you to just check in, reporting the news, letting us know what's going on for you in this moment, practicing mindfulness and honesty and vulnerability, because you're going to do it out loud. So you have to trust that your experience is worth sharing. I can tell you that it is, but when it comes right down to letting your voice come out, you're the one who has to trust. I'm going to give you a format for doing it, and this format has the acronym of PIES, P-I-E-S. P is for physical. What are you experiencing physically in your body right now? Just noticing physically what's here. And it can be as simple, and I invite it to be as simple as what we were saying in the body scan. My toes feel cold. My knees are tired. You know, if it gets more complex than that, if you want to share more, that's absolutely fine. The I is for intellectual. So what are your thoughts? What are you thinking about things? Sometimes the physical ties right into the intellectual because it's like, well, I'm feeling this ache in my knees, and that's because I've been eating too much wheat lately and my joints are inflamed. You know, like, so the intellectual likes to tell the stories. What are the thoughts? What are the stories? But just what's going on for you right now? And the intellectual could also be, I'm reading this book and I'm thinking about the ideas in it. So things in the intellectual, the thought realm. The E is for emotional. How do you feel? What are your emotions? What do you feel about something? And so as the example I was giving, my knees ache. My story, intellectual, is that I've been eating too much wheat and my joints are inflamed. My emotional is sad. I don't want to have inflamed joints, but gosh, the wheat tastes so good and I'm feeling pulled in different directions. You know, so the three could tie into each other, but they don't necessarily have to. And then the fourth is, the S is spiritual. And that is, whatever your concept of relationship to an energy bigger than yourself. So maybe that's God, maybe that's the earth, maybe that's the universe, maybe it's love, whatever it is that you have, you know, and when I say God, whatever, you know, sort of a deity kind of relationship you have. So anything in the spiritual realm. So physical, intellectual, emotional, spiritual. If you're not sure what to do, feel free to say, I'm not sure what to do. And I'll either help or I'll say, that's great. It's totally fine that you don't know what to do. So letting this be easy. Would you go ahead and check in? Physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual.
Okay. Physically, during the check-in, I was feeling very calm and nice and centered, and it was very nice. I always love bringing my awareness to my body and just stopping because I'm always so busy. And so that was really nice. And then in the middle of it, my 4-year-old had to go to the bathroom. So I, you know, I took her and helped her to go potty and then came back and started to feel kind of nervous because I was like, okay, well, I was feeling good. And then I got kind of thrown off, but that's okay. I'm just going to roll with it, you know. So that's kind of how that went. And then intellectually, I guess, I was very focusing on like, on how you said yourselves, you know, like focusing, this is my intellectual self in all of my cells, you know, all throughout. And so I was really, really enjoying that. And then when she got up and went to the bathroom and I was starting to feel nervous, my heart started, you know, pounding a little bit. And I was, that was just kind of, you know, it brought my awareness to that, that, okay, this is my emotion and this is what it's doing to my body. And then emotionally, because I was beginning to feel a bit nervous and feeling, I don't know, maybe because I got kind of thrown in the middle of it, not so confident in volunteering. But that's okay. Like, again, it's okay. I'm happy to be able to be even here, to be able to say these things to you guys. So that's good. And then, spiritually, I believe and feel completely just, and this is just all throughout my life, and, but particularly towards this class, just very guided and very watched over and you know, I'm taking this class for a reason and I'm just very, I don't know, overall just very excited and happy to be a part of it. So I think that's it.
Wonderful. Thanks, Sarah. And I love that you volunteered and then you got interrupted and you got to feel nervous and you know, have the thoughts about that and the sensation in your body and just got to be so aware of it. And so as you were just doing right now, just reporting, I'm like reporting the news. Although that's a phrase that's useful and I like, but I also don't actually watch the news. And I do that very intentionally because I find it really disturbing and focuses on all the negative things. And so I don't want that to actually be part of that phrase for you. It's more just saying like, hey, this is what I see. I'm just reporting what is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes vulnerability to stand up and share. So feeling nervous is also such a great thing to welcome in. So I'm actually going to guide a little bit in that direction because I think think actually seeing the parts work in action is pretty cool for this class, because I'm telling you how awesome I think it is, and I'd love to just demo that a little bit. Are you willing to go into the nervous a little bit more, Sarah, and help me? Let me help you into that?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, great. So you could just take a hand and put it on your heart. You may or may not be feeling nervous still, but just take a hand and put it there. That physical connection with yourself can also feel pretty grounding and connected. And you can say, out loud would be great, to say, "Hi, welcome part of me that's nervous."
Welcome part of me that's nervous.
Yeah. And then just breathing and noticing what's here, whether you still feel nervous or whether there's something else. Oftentimes when we welcome in parts, other parts that are associated with it will come in. So there might be a part coming in that's like, "I'm not nervous now. That's done. That's over." Or mm-hmm. or something else. But just, you know, hand on the heart, hand on your chest, breathing. And as you welcome in that nervous part, just letting it know, and you can again say this out loud to it, it would be great. We're not here to fix you or change you. It's really okay to be here and feel the way you feel.
We're not here to fix you or change you. I forgot what it
is. That's okay. My words were just, it's okay to be here and just feel the way you feel.
Yeah, it is. It's okay to just be here and feel the way you feel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I invite you to, not necessarily in the PIES format, but just mindfully, what's alive for you right now? Are you feeling that nervousness, getting any thoughts or images?
I guess just whenever I feel about, I mean, anytime I think about my nervousness, I just, it all goes back to just being a kid and being, you know, trying to fit in or whatever. And always just being kind of, I don't know. I'm like, me and my best friend were bullied a lot in school. And so I feel like, I always feel like I, you know, it was so long ago and it was, and we're so over that. But it's just, I guess it just always kind of holds a place there for me. I'm sorry, I have to start this thing over for my daughter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's kind of what I was feeling, but, you know, I've gotten, at the same time, while I noticed that, I noticed that that it's okay, you know, that I can sit in that nervousness and move forward and not let it affect me, except for, like, when I get tongue-tied and stuff. So, but I'm like, I've been feeling like I've been able to work through that a lot more. Sorry, I got a little bit distracted in the middle of talking. My daughter is like, she's just kind of messing with me today. But
no problem at all, Sarah. And okay. What you're saying right now is helpful, but I would say it's two parts that are there for you right now. You've got the part that's actually feeling the nervousness and has the association with being a kid, being bullied, not fitting in. And then you've got another part that's saying, yeah, that was a long time ago. We've figured out how to cope with this. Like, we have strategies, we have tools. We can move forward and we don't have to let this rule our lives.
Yeah.
That's partially how I'd say that parts work can be applied to this situation with you. So playing with that, will you go ahead and welcome in that other part, that second part that's like, yep, we can do this, we can move through it, we've got strategies now. You can use any words. You can just say like, "Hi, other part."
What did you say? I'm sorry, you said something and I didn't hear that last part.
You could just welcome, "Hi, part."
Yes, "Hi, part."
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's your internal focus on who are you saying hi to. You know, you're saying hi to that part that's coming in, and saying you can not be overwhelmed by the nervous. So let's just picture those two parts for right now, the nervous part and this part that has tools and strategies and can move forward and doesn't need to stay stuck in the nervous. Picture them both being welcomed there. And you might do that with a visualization. Maybe these two parts both look like someone. Are you getting anything kind of visually about them?
I just think of, whenever I think of not being nervous about something, I think of my solar plexus. And so, and that's kind of just where I feel at my power center. So my heart, like in my chest, when I feel nervous, I feel it in my chest and in my heart. And then, my power center kind of is like, it's okay, and it spins very fast.
Great. So then, and you could take one hand and put it on your solar plexus too. So hand on your heart, hand on your belly, such a nice combination. And welcoming, like picturing these two parts both being welcome at the same time. They don't need to negate one another. If you feel nervous, it doesn't mean that you're not powerful. If you feel powerful, it doesn't mean you can't feel nervous. Right now, and one of the blessings of inner empathy is being able to hold seeming opposites at the same time. Mm-hmm. So just allowing them both to be here. And you could feel that just under your hands, or you can, I tend to be very visual, so I'll lead you through a little visual and we'll see if that works. But you can just visualize energy, light, just a warm, gentle, healing light. Maybe pink, maybe yellow, just golden, really nice, soft, gentle color. Holding the nervous, energy around the heart. Holding the I can do it energy around your solar plexus, and then letting those two spheres of light that were holding both of those two parts merge. The parts don't need to merge, but they're both held within the same compassionate presence. And then from there, I kind of imagine the nervous part and the I can do it part having, a little bit of being a little bit like people, so they can look around and they like see each other and they're like, hey, you're here too. Okay. Yeah, we can both be here at the same time. And so I'll just ask you, how does that feel, Sarah? Or how are you feeling right now? How are your parts feeling?
Wonderful. Very balanced and very neutral, kind of. So, yeah. Feels really good.
So from here, we also, as we welcome the parts in the beginning, we also close by thanking the parts. So we're going to wrap up this inner empathy demonstration by you looking at each part and saying, thank you. Thank you to the nervous part. Glad you're here. Thank you to the I can do it part. You can use your own words and please do it out loud.
Thank you to both of you, to the nervous part and to the empowered part, to the confident part. And I love you both.
Great. And you can also let them know that you value their presence and that you could either say that you'll come back and listen to them again. Since we're going to be taking this course together, I think you can confidently let them know that you will come back and connect with them again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We will connect again. And I do value both of these parts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons, it doesn't always have to be quite this long on the ending, but one of the reasons that you go ahead and thank the parts and you let them know that you'll connect again is because sometimes when the parts are like, oh my gosh, she was paying attention, she was listening to me, that is so amazing, I really want more attention, and the parts will be like, hey, me, give me attention. You'll start to feel more nervous or something like that. So letting the parts know you'll give them attention. And you can also say, I want to know when you want attention. Please let me know when you want attention, and I'll give it to you as soon as it works for me, as soon as it's convenient for me. And again, you can change the words, but letting the part know you value it, you will give it attention, you want it to let you know when it wants attention,
and you'll give it attention when it works for you. So those parts all make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. So you go ahead and tell your parts that you'll give them attention when it works for you.
Okay. I value you, and I want to give you attention, and I will give you attention when it works for me. So please feel free to let me know when you need me.
Great. So with that, we're going to, that completes your demonstration. Thank you so much. Round of applause for you. and then I'd like to take some time for questions, comments, feedback, anything that's a little confusing. This is what you're going to do for homework. So if there's anything that you're like, I'm not sure if I can do that, or what did you do, or what should I say? Like, I will go ahead and I'll send you out a script to use, some prompts, that kind of thing. But now's a great time to ask your questions. So you can go ahead and take yourselves off of mute, and we'll see what's here. And you don't just have to have questions on it being the homework. You can have feedback on the session, like how you felt when you were doing the body scan, how you experienced Sarah sharing about what was going on for her. Maybe you got really tired and spaced out. Maybe you thought it was the best thing ever. Like, go ahead and share your experience is also what this time is for.
I'll share. This is Carrie. Are you able to hear me?
Great. Hi, Carrie. Welcome. Yep, we can hear you.
Great. Thank you. I guess, you know, I'll just share briefly that it's neat for me to hear you guiding. Is it Sarah? Is that the right name?
Yeah.
Hi. Yes. Yeah. And it's just a neat process, and I'll share that Cassandra has coached me privately, and she led me through this process, and, you know, with a little more depth because it was a one-on-one session and we had a whole hour, and it was a really powerful experience for me, and so I'm excited to be learning it. I know it will be powerful for me to continue learning, and that I can also bring that to my clients, and it will be empowering for them. And the thing of working with it for myself was, you know, I was kind of coming from this place like, okay, I love Cassandra's energy. I love working with her. I love doing introspective work. And, you know, kind of felt like, I know what introspective work is all about. I'm familiar with this territory and the kind of, you know, the challenging parts and the opening parts. And that said, I was still profoundly taken aback about how deeply doing this work touched me. And it was incredible and hard and great all at the same time. And so just briefly, I confronted a part of myself that I was completely ashamed of, that was like wasting time in the worst possible time of all to waste time, and kept doing it. It was like, you know, the major fight, flight, or freeze. I was like so frozen, and I was so ashamed about it because I was utterly wasting time when there would be dire consequences for doing so. Anyway, and so talked with this part, and after really hearing it, it helped me move past that. And I know Cassandra will guide you better, because I know we're not supposed to necessarily fix things by talking to the parts. But for me, it this part that I was so ashamed of that I just wanted to kick out, I found was actually my ally. So I'll just share that. But it's powerful work. I'm excited to learn more.
Great. And Carrie, thank you so much for sharing that. It was really fun to do that session with you. I remember it too. And I'm wondering if you want to share anything about what it was like for you to listen today or any parts that came up or any reflections on the work that we just did with Sarah.
Well, I just think that it's a beautiful thing to make space for listening to experience, like for listening to her experience and listening to it in the form of community, like all of us gathered here on the phone, and just making that space and which says, hey, this is valuable. This is valuable to check in on a body level, on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, you know, on all the levels. This is valuable, and that sometimes something that can seem like so quickly passed by, like, okay, I'm feeling nervous and, you know, okay, now I'm moving past it. And, you know, those things every day, we feel them and maybe we move past them or whatever, and then they're gone in a second and we're on to something else. But like just to take time to hear the stories and the feelings and the realities of those moments for a second can give us a huge place for growth and for, you know, becoming more of ourselves and having a richer experience. And that doing that ourselves puts us in, you know, the experiential place of knowing what it is and how much better guides we're going to be when we've actually embodied this stuff, how much better guides we can be for others, you know, as coaches or as just people.
Mm-hmm. So. Wonderful. Thanks, Carrie. I appreciate
mm-hmm.
yeah, making yeah. the time and the space to do this does say that it's valuable, and that's I appreciate hearing that reflection as well. Great. Are you complete?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you just muted yourself. Okay. There you go. Thanks.
This is Sarah again. I just wanted to say, too, that, you know, while talking to you, we get these coping skills that we think are skills of ignoring feelings or ignoring the reasons why you feel a certain way. And it was like, as soon as I acknowledged that nervousness came from, you know, being bullied or feeling insecure, or feeling like not being able to fit in my past, which, I mean, was so very long ago, it's kind of like I've always thought of it as being ridiculous that it would affect me now, you know. But just acknowledging that feeling and just saying out loud and sharing with you guys that was something that came up for me, that it was like instantly came up for me. It was as if it just melted away, you know, the nervousness and the, you know, self-judgment and, you know, any sort of thing like that. It totally melted away. And like how you said to, you know, whenever I said that my power center was where I felt, you know, where it was like opposite, where it was supportive and good, a good place. It was as if they combined, they melted together and they made it to where, you know, I guess, you know, I was able to look at it with compassion and look at myself with compassion is not too new, but I mean, it is pretty new, you know, at the same time, because I never have acknowledged that was something that needed to be felt fully, you know. So I can imagine working with you, Cassandra, one-on-one would be pretty awesome if that was that awesome.
Thanks, Sarah. Yeah, so I am delighted. Sometimes, you know, we're not going into the inner empathy with the intention of fixing or changing or figuring anything out. It's this little bit of a paradox, because nobody would pay you to coach them or pay me to coach them to say, like, yeah, I don't want to change anything. And yet my primary tool says, we're going to sit with what's coming up for you without trying to change it. And that's a little mm-hmm. bit of a, like, you know, a mind twist sometimes, like, what? But yet just being with it without trying to change it sometimes allows that energy, well, often. It doesn't always happen in 5 minutes, but pretty much always after being accepted and sat with and listened to, the energy shifts and changes But it's that quality, like when I was doing the body scan, instead of the clenching shoulders and saying, oh, my shoulders are tight, I should relax them now. Now I will relax my shoulders. But like doing it from the head down, it's like just the breath and the being with and the noticing. And then like the shoulders can let go of the tension when they're ready. So it's the same kind of thing. The parts will let go of their habitual tension and patterns, and who knows exactly how that will happen. Like even the word letting go, like we don't want to attach to that either, because we don't want to go and like, let's do some inner empathy so we can get our parts to let go of their tension and their habits. It's like, no, no, we're not doing that either. We're really just going to hang out with them. And then spontaneous self-correction is the best phrase that I've heard to describe this. There's like the parts start to align themselves with more life-affirming habits given the space and the time to do that, but without being told they're supposed to change. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty sweet thing, and it takes some trust to go there. It's like, oh, okay. So I'm glad you had a good first experience. It makes the trust for other things later easier.
Well, that's good.
Francis, do you want to see if you've still got echo, or you want to see if you can share?
Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to take any more. I thought that process was simply amazing on more than one level. and briefly, last night I was doing some really intense healing on a really deep core limiting belief that I had. And this morning, and even maybe about half an hour to an hour after I did that work last night, I really felt like bits and pieces were just coming up. I like to call it dust. I really felt like I had stirred up a lot of dust, and it was hanging around this morning, and I was beginning to feel really discouraged about the whole thing. Because these are things that I've worked on before, and they're all coming back up again. But going through that process, when I checked in with each part of my body, I noticed that there's little different aspects, but especially in my heel, there's bits and pieces that are sort of putting holes in my whole being. They're just little piercing arrows. And when I checked in with what was happening on a spiritual level, it's like what I got was that I'm on the verge of a breakthrough. And I've heard a lot of different people say that when you are faced with having to do something over and over and over again, that usually indicates that you are on a threshold. So that kind of verified that for me, and it also gave me the courage, and it gave me the strength to continue doing what I'm doing, because I know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So I thought that was extremely powerful, and I really enjoy working with energy, and I enjoy working with different colors of energy, and I was trying to tell myself what color to use, but a different color came up. So I learned that it's probably best just to let whatever color show up that is needed in the moment, because energy work is really powerful work. And for those of you who don't know me, last week I was talking to Cassandra about how I've discovered a split in my masculine energy. There's one part that's really compassionate, and there's one part that is real dominant and sort of frightens me. But when you were working with Sarah on the hand over the heart and the hand over the solar plexus area, I was working with those two parts of my masculine energy and bringing them into alignment and giving compassion to each and telling each to appreciate both of them. And I am definitely going to do some more work on that because that really, really helped to begin to mend that separation. So thank you.
Absolutely. Sweet. Inner empathy can be used in a very targeted way as well to, like, with an issue, like you're saying, Francis, with these two aspects of your masculine. You could go into an inner empathy session with the intention of connecting with those two parts and then see what happens. We'll get into this more in some future weeks, but here's a little foreshadowing of taking intentions into our sessions, but also trusting the wisdom of what I call the system, you know, the whole mind, body, emotional, spiritual, mm-hmm. whatever it is that we have. So sometimes I'll go in with an intention to work on, like, okay, I want to work on the parts that don't want to do guest blogging. And instead I'll wind up talking about something about, like, relationships with my dad. And at first I'll have parts that are like, oh my gosh, this is so off topic. And eventually it usually comes back around to some connection that I can make. But there's a lightness on both things, like going in with an intention and then following what's there. And likewise with the energy work and the colors, I hold that similarly, Francis, where you were like, let's do this color. And I think it was probably one of your parts that was like, no, I want this other color, you know, not so much the dialogue, but like the part has its own preference. And so we trust, as you said, you know, well, maybe I'll just trust what color comes up. Exactly. Trusting the parts and trusting the process. So with that, I am going to go ahead.
I spent last week trying to figure out how to reconnect those two parts, and I think that one exercise is just an incredible way to at least begin the process. And I know that as I do more of that probably something else will come up or something else that I can do to further reconnect and reunite those. So, trusting and leaving oneself open to the possibility presenting itself, I think, is also very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we're going to wrap up. We're at our time for today. I'm going to send out a follow-up email that's going to have contact information for each of you. It's going to have partner assignments for who's partnering with whom this week, and it's going to actually have the text of the homework. So you've got a couple of short articles to read. There's journaling to do. I want you to journal every day. Even if what you do is pick up your paper or open up your journal, you know, document on your Word file and say, I am choosing not to journal today. I don't have time. I don't want to, whatever. Like, even if it's just that, do some journaling every day. Now, what I would love for you to do with the journaling is do some of this mindfulness practice. Sit down for 10 minutes would be a great, like, fairly doable chunk of time. Give yourself 10 minutes. You can even set a timer and just write what's current in your awareness, practicing mindfulness. You can come back and listen to the parts of the recording that talk about mindfulness. You could listen to the compassionate settling in. You could listen to the description of the PIES check-in, any of that to help prompt you on the journaling. But just journal about your current experience. A couple of words, I'm not going to do it, is fine, but do some journaling every day. And then the last part of the homework is the partner work, which will be described, and that'll probably take you, I'm going to say give it an hour. You could give it 90 minutes and really give yourselves a luxurious amount of time to connect with and work with each other and talk about the class and hopes and insights. Or you could make it even a little bit shorter. You know, Sarah and I probably took maybe 15 minutes. So you could conceivably do your partner homework in like a 35 or 40 minute call. I think you're going to find it'll feel better if you schedule yourself an hour, and if you're done sooner, you can just say, great, I feel complete, and you can wrap up sooner. But giving yourself an hour at least would be nice. And that's it. Any questions? Great. Well, let's all give each other some parting words. Goodbye. So long. Thank you so much for coming. It was a lot of fun. Aloha.
Oh, love you all.
Oh, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Same time, same place next week. Bye.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.